Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 now. This is the last message from this passage, a very brief five-message series on the name of Jesus Christ as found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And if you were not here last Wednesday night, let me just say that next Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock, New Year's Eve, my nephew is getting married in Florida. This is Tim's boy, Timothy. And Tim has been to all of mine and Tom's kids' weddings. And Tom, obviously not able to go. I haven't said much about Tom, but he had his fourth brain surgery last Monday. He's not doing well. And we'll be on 8 weeks of continuous antibiotic IV drip for infection in the brain. And so obviously he's not able to go. And so if I'm not there, then none of the brothers will be there. And it's not convenient. It's not a good time. I hate missing the first Sunday of a new year. But something like this only happens once. And so Joyce and Cherith and I are probably going to head down. Brother Jason will be preaching here Wednesday night. And Brother Clint Reardon will be here all day Sunday. He's going to preach the morning in the Spanish and then preach on Sunday night next week. Okay, Brother Caleb will preach Sunday morning in my absence. If we get, it's about 90% sure that we're going to make the trip. I guess 10% possibility that we wouldn't. But you'll be in good hands, and they'll pass out the church calendars next week that have the details of this coming year. And so don't forget about that. When I get back, we're having the Lord's Supper on the 8th, and then a couple other things. We need to have a message or a time on Sunday about the upcoming Revival Fires Conference in April. We have a lot to do to get ready for that good time. So we'll be talking about that as well. Now, Ben and Ashley, more than likely, this is their last service. They'll be leaving for Oklahoma City this week, and we'll be back unless they're here Wednesday night by chance. But they'll be back for missions conference and different things, but they'll be down there till about the middle of May with Ashley's family and so forth. But it's been a blessing to have them. And I was thinking, man, I got the perfect CD to give Ben back there. Got these Providence Baptist College CDs, amen, that we tried to get rid of last year. They're left over. They're a real hit, son, so you'll enjoy it, okay? And we'll make sure you get one of those, all right? Isaiah chapter 9. And why don't we stand in honor of God's Word, okay? And I appreciate you being here this evening, and I know a lot of folks had plans. That doesn't bother me tonight. This Christmas doesn't fall on Sunday, but once in a blue moon, I guess. And so I'm not upset with anybody for being out with family, but I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're not sitting at home and just watching a television or something. I'm glad that you're here tonight. Now, the Bible says in verse 6, if you'll please join me on verse 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to speak for a few moments from your word. Thank you for this day, the day that the world recognizes as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight with these friends and church members. Now bless our thoughts from your book. Help us tonight in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. And I draw your attention to verse number 6. We've been taking our title from verse 6 where the Bible says, and his name shall be called. And I've been speaking some messages on the subject of his name. Tonight we come to the very last of the names given for Jesus Christ by Isaiah the prophet in this verse. We looked at Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God this morning, the Everlasting Father, and now tonight, lastly, the Prince of Peace. Now you realize, friend, that peace is not the result of men's signatures that are attached to the end of some lengthy document. Some of the world's most powerful and most influential people have signed their names to peace treaties that absolutely meant nothing. It was all a show. It was all an image. There never was any substance to it, and there never was any peace the result of it. Truth be known, it was pretty much mainly to secure the monetary assistance of other nations. And if you'll sit down at the table and broker some kind of treaty and put your name on it, We'll give you a couple, $3 billion or $10 billion in aid. I don't understand where we as a country get all these billions to aid other countries with when we got things going down the tube right here. I don't understand that. But anyway, and so it's like a parent telling two fussing siblings, now if you sit here and be good, I'll give you a piece of candy. And as soon as the candy is consumed, the war is on again. Amen. That's about what it's like. These peace treaties don't amount to a whole lot. Now, there will be no peace without the Prince of Peace, because peace is not in some document. Peace is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ, the person whose birthday we celebrate today. And I think it's ironic that most of the world recognizes Christmas as the birthday of Christ. And yet, as we celebrate Christmas even today, peace is rare in our country. Not only in our country, but around the world, peace is rare. Now, there is a reason for this. Verse number 7 says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, verse number 7 speaks largely about the millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ will set His kingdom up and He'll rule and reign from the throne of His father David. Jesus is coming back to this earth one day. He is coming for the express purpose. I'm not talking about in the rapture when He comes to call us out. He's not going to come to the earth that time. He'll stop in the clouds. But when He comes to the earth, when His feet touch this earth, touch planet earth, He comes to establish His kingdom, to put down all those that are warring against Israel and against God. And He comes to set up His kingdom, and He will reign. His government shall rule. And our Bible says, as His government increases, peace increases as well. Of the increase of His government and peace. When Jesus rules, when Jesus governs, when Jesus is in control, there's peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace. Now, a prince is a lord. A prince is a ruler, a sovereign. And Jesus is the Lord, the ruler, the sovereign of peace. He is peace. He creates peace. He preserves peace. He commands peace. He is the governor of peace. And I love to read this verse because I love to read that He will establish His kingdom with judgment and with justice. Boy, that'll be good to have a return to that. Amen. You don't have much of that anymore in our day and age. He'll establish it with judgment and with justice. And I love the last sentence of the verse. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You don't have to worry, friend. Will Jesus set up His kingdom or not? The Bible says that God's zeal will make sure that this takes place. You're not going to get in God's way when it comes to this. Huh? That's not going to do it. And I love that verse. Now, most every Christian you talk to looks forward with great anticipation to the day that Jesus rules and the world knows peace. Most every Christian you talk to. And it will be a wonderful day when the Prince of Peace rules and reigns and peace fills the earth. But here's my thought tonight. The truth is that the lordship or the rule of the Prince of Peace results in peace now. The world may not know it. The United States of America may not know it, but you can know it, and I can know it. I can know the peace of God. You can know the peace of God. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, the peace of God is the result of Jesus Christ ruling. The peace of God is the result of the Prince being on the throne. Now, the world is not going to know peace until Jesus Christ sits on His throne. But you and I can know peace now if we'll let Jesus sit and rule on the throne of our hearts. It's the same principle. When Jesus rules, there's peace. When Jesus' government is in control, there's peace. It doesn't matter if it means the earthly throne of His earthly kingdom or the throne of my heart and the throne of your heart. When Christ and when the principles of the lordship of Christ rule in our heart and life, peace increases with it. Because with the increase of Christ's rule, peace increases. That's interesting. Rule equals peace. Rule. That's authority. That's government equals peace. I'm not talking about man's government. I'm talking about Christ's government. Rule equals peace. You see, so many of God's people are influenced by the world and its ideas of peace and freedom and everything else. Nobody wants to be ruled. Nobody wants to be governed, including some of God's people. They don't want to be governed by the principles of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not wanting to be governed by His leadership. Not wanting to be ruled by Him. Sometimes a preacher or a teacher tries to introduce principles of Christ's Lordship. And you know the reaction from folks in the pew? You're not going to tell me how to live. You're not going to tell me what to do. And you know what happens, friend? They reject the very thing that will give them the peace of God in their hearts. Reject the very thing that will give them the peace of God. Sometimes parents try to instruct and enforce the principles of Christ's Lordship at their home, in the lives of their children, and the children reject it. And kids don't realize that when they reject the rule and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in their heart they're rejecting the peace of God. You see, when the world rejects the principles of Christ's Lordship, it rejects, and it rejects Him, the world has no peace. The same thing's true about a Christian. When a Christian rejects the principles of Christ's Lordship and rejects Christ as a result of that, a Christian has no peace. If you're not at peace tonight, if there's turmoil in your soul, you have to ask your question, who's ruling? Who's ruling? Who's ruling in your heart? Whose principles are ruling your heart? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who sits on the throne of your life? Because where Christ rules, the increase of His government takes place, you have the increase of His peace. And a Christian can have peace. Hear this now. It's not so much a matter of knowledge as it is a matter of the will. Because Paul said, let the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Over the years, people come in for advice. Sometimes they come in for advice concerning a family conflict. Sometimes they come in for advice concerning a marriage conflict or a parent-child conflict or in-laws conflict. Sometimes they come in, it's about business. It's about financial matters. But there's conflict. There's war in the family or war in their own financial world or war going on. And they come in for some advice. And you know what a pastor does? If he's a decent pastor, he takes the Word of God and he tries to introduce principles of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Principles of Christ's Lordship. And if those principles will be received, they result in peace. Sometimes those principles are rejected. And when you reject the principles of Christ's Lordship, you lose the opportunity for peace. I was reminded when I was thinking about this earlier this morning, going over this in my mind, reading it, I was reminded recently of a man who came into the office back there and said, can I talk with you for a few minutes? And he was visibly upset, and I could see it. And I said, sure, come on in, bro. And he was upset at one of his adult children. Oh, he was upset. And I'm telling you, it was a conflict. And man, I tell you, he was upset, and I mean, he was upset, and he told me, this is what happened, and this is what I'm going to do. And I said, well, brother, I understand. And I said, but you know, unfortunately, that's not according to the biblical principles. You can't do that. But that's what I want to do. Folks, just because we want to do it doesn't make it good or right. Okay? And so I said, now look. I talked for a little while, let him calm down, hopefully for a little bit. And I said, now look, my friend, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what you need to do. You need to go home, and this is what you need to implement because this is biblical. These are the principles of the Word of God, principles of the Lordship of Christ. Well, I didn't say it in these words, but in so many words I was saying, let them rule in your heart. Now, I don't know how fully he followed the principles I gave him, but I know he followed them to a degree because he's been sitting around here these last several weeks with a great big old smile on his face, been happy, shook my hand this morning with a great big smile on his face, shook my hand tonight with a great big smile on his face, happy in the Lord. It's obvious to me that he let the peace of God rule in his heart by letting the principles of Christ's Lordship rule in his heart. How do you let the peace of God rule? You let the peace of God rule by implementing the principles of Christ's Lordship. If he's on the throne, let him govern. The result of that government is peace. The result of that rulership is peace. I say to families tonight, and some that aren't here, and that's okay. As I said earlier, they got family stuff. That's okay. But I know we have a few families in our church in some form of turmoil tonight. Maybe some here in this room I don't even know about. But I can tell you how to resolve most of the turmoil. Let the peace of God rule. How do you let the peace of God rule? You put Christ on the throne of your heart. Put Him there. Let Him govern. Let Him be sovereign. Because as His government increases in your heart, as His government increases in your life, so will peace. I think about individuals here tonight. I think about some of you college-age young people. Sometimes you come up to situations in life and you're not sure what to do and what turn to take next and what's ahead, and you can't see the future. You think what to do here, what to do there, what to do about this, what to do about that. And you know what? As I was encouraging one of our college students just recently, I said, listen, let God rule. Let God govern. Give it to the Lord. Give it to Him completely. Let Him sit on the throne of your heart and call the shots. If you will do that, you will have peace. Because as the government of Jesus Christ increases, peace increases with it. We're going to be a part of that during that thousand-year reign. We're going to see it. Be 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling. And as the tentacles, if you will, of His rulership reach out across the earth doesn't go into chaos. Chaos settles. Peace rises. Because He's not the Prince of Chaos. He's the Prince of Peace. And so the same thing applies to your heart, to my heart. The same thing applies. You may be here tonight in turmoil about something. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something I don't even mention tonight. You think, what to do? What to do? What to do? Let Him rule. Give Him the throne. Give it to Him. Don't crawl up on the throne yourself. Don't take that seat. That's His place. Give it to Him. I was reading the book that Brother Wayne Irvin borrowed me to read. A.C. Dixon, a great preacher, pastor of a church up in New York. And I've been slowly reading through it. Just a little small book. Oh boy, he had some good stuff. And he talked in there in one of his messages on the fullness of God about giving God the keys to your life. Give Him the keys to your life. And it reminded me, some of you folks that have been here will have heard this a couple, three times. But it reminded me of the little illustration I've used here a couple times when we built this building. And the contractor, Brother Stewart, Brother Tim Stewart, he sat down with me and he said, now Terry, he said, you've got to decide about the keys for the building. And all the rooms and closets and everything that has a lock on it. Everything has to have a key. You've got to decide about the keys. What do I got to decide about the keys? Well, how many keys do you want? And what kind of keys? And we can group these keys together and this bunch together. We can do the offices in one group and the classrooms in one group and the external doors in the internal doors. And he said, you'll want some GM key, some GMK. So what's a GMK? GMK stands for Grand Master Key. Grand Master Key. You'll want some of those because it gets you into every door that's locked. He said, now you'll want some SMKs. Those are sub-master keys. Sub-master keys will get you into a few designated doors, but they won't get you into all the doors. I think Grace McCaslin has a sub-master key that opens up the nursery and some other doors for her. Some of the teachers in the school building have a sub-master key. They can get into the classrooms and things like that. But there's just a handful of keys that are grand master keys. It gets you into every place in this building and that building that has a lock on it. You know what most of us like? Most of us have handed Jesus an SMK. Most of us have given the Lord Jesus Christ a sub-master key. You can have this room and this room and this room and this room and this compartment and this area of my heart and my life. But what He wants, what He needs, is the GMK. He needs the grandmaster key. He needs the key to every room. He needs the key to every closet. He needs the key to every nook, every cranny in my life and in your life. And friend, you and I are the benefactors when we give Him the grandmaster key, because as His rulership increases, so does His peace. So does His peace. I've actually had people, Christians, sit in the office back there in the conference room, look across the table and tell me, I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. And I'm going to tell you something. To whatever degree you hold back on Jesus Christ, giving Jesus Christ the keys to your heart and your life, to that same degree, you'll lack full peace. The person in this room, the people in this room tonight who enjoy the fullest peace of God in their heart are the ones who have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, and given Him the Grand Master Key, because as His rulership increases, so does His peace. See, it's not just for the earth. It's for me. It's not just for the earth. It's for you. It's for us. Give Him the whole keys, the Grand Master Key. Give Him lock, stock, and barrel. Now, the principles of Christ's Lordship don't always create peace around us, but they do create peace within us. And oftentimes, they create peace around us as well. The key is that word, let. That's a choice of the will. But once we open that door, listen to this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord of peace, that's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. If I give Him everything, the result is He gives me peace. The Lord of peace, Jesus Christ, will give us peace as we allow Him to govern or rule in our lives. One more thought, and I'm done. The Prince of Peace. That's interesting to me because prince usually means that there is one in a greater or higher position. And that's a king. If a king is a ruler, his son is a prince. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I believe He's called the Prince of Peace for this reason. Because Jesus Christ is the mediator of peace between God and man. Jesus is the one who takes God's hand with one hand and man's hand with the other, and through Himself reconciles God and man together, creating the result of peace between God and man. There is no peace between God and man as long as man is lost and apart from God's salvation. But as soon as they come to Jesus Christ, He is the mediator between God and man, who creates a peaceful relationship between God and His creation. That's why He's called the Prince of Peace. He takes the hand of the one that's higher. If you have time to read sometime in the near future and you've never read the book called Peace Child, do yourself a favor and check it out at the library or get it off Amazon. You probably can find a paperback copy on Amazon for a few dollars. Written by Don Richardson. He and his wife Carol were missionaries on one of the islands of New Guinea to a very barbaric, isolated group of village Indian people on one of those small, not the main island, one of the small islands. I forget the tribe of people that were there, but they were a fierce foe. And different tribes dotted those different islands down there, and the stories are incredible. They're riveting. They really are. I'm not just joking. They are riveting. Riveting stories. And he tells the story, as it's just like some of these missionaries, Brother Westenberger, Schrock, and Brother Schrock and Brother Ben here, have had to learn the culture of the countries, of the people where they've gone to serve as missionaries. Brother Richardson had to learn the culture of those people on one of those islands. And he learned what a peace child was in their culture. A peace child. You had two tribes that were at war with each other, two tribes who hated each other, two tribes who could not find peace. No matter what they tried to do, they never could result in peace. And the only thing that would result in peace was the exchange of a peace child. This village, a man was chosen to take his newborn baby, maybe a few months old. This village, a man was chosen to take his newborn baby. And oftentimes they took those newborn babies from the arms of their mothers. And those men would grab those babies and run with them. And the mothers would run behind wailing. And the men from each tribe would meet. And those babies were exchanged. And the baby from this tribe went to live in this tribe. And the baby from this tribe went to live in this village with these people. And they were given up for life. And the pact was this: there would never be war or fighting between those two tribes as long as the peace child lived in those villages. But somebody had to give up a child to do that. Well, there was war between God and man because of sin. Until one day God sent us a peace child. We don't have to give one up. God gave His peace child to come to this earth, born on this day that we celebrate as His birthday, crucified on that old rugged cross, buried and risen from that borrowed tomb. And as long as the peace child lives in your heart and mine, there is peace with God. Peace with God. If you're not, I would imagine that most folks here tonight would claim to be saved and are saved. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But let me say tonight, if there's one like the couple that were here this morning who've not been saved, what a great day to receive God's peace child, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. And if you are saved, and I see these, good to see the Montgomery young people over here, some of them, and I see some of our young people here, lots of them, of course, most of them, lots of them gone. But the families here tonight, hey, you don't have to live in turmoil. Don't have to. There's an answer. It's the Prince of Peace. And as long as He rules, and the more He rules, and the more His government increases in my life, the greater the peace will be as well. Because with the increase of His government comes the increase of His peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you for listening and for being here. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll take these simple thoughts from Your book tonight and a simple illustration from a good missionary of years ago. God, I pray that You'll use them in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us not to be afraid of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be afraid or fear His ruling our lives. He is not a hard taskmaster. God, You know, and we have experienced the peace that comes when Jesus Christ reigns and rules in our hearts. May we freely give Him tonight every bit of our hearts and lives. Those of us who are saved, turn it over to Him, the Grand Master Key to every area of our life. And God, we know, according to the Word of God, that peace will follow because He is the Prince of Peace. Bless the folks here tonight. If one is here not saved, I pray that You'll touch the heart of that person particularly. I pray it in Jesus' name.